Hi, I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm the host of Vermont Edition, and I just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. A year ago, the COVID-19 pandemic was starting to have an impact in Vermont and across the country, and Governor Scott's executive order would be issued in the middle of March. This year, the pandemic is having a huge impact on the institution of town meeting. Some towns have delayed their meeting, while others are shifting to using the Australian ballot to decide key local issues. Because of these changes, some people are worried that the future of town meeting could be in jeopardy in some communities. Today in the program, we're going to take a look at how some different towns are dealing with this issue in different ways. And we're going to start with an overview of this issue with Karen Horn, who is the Director for Public Policy and Advocacy at the Vermont League of Cities and Towns. Karen, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. And we love talking about the subject of town meeting even this year.
That's good to know. So, Karen, let's start, you know, with the current state rules that are in place governing the size of public gatherings because of the pandemic. It does make it virtually impossible for communities that usually hold a town meeting to have one this year. And as we're going to learn, different towns are dealing with this in different ways. How much flexibility did towns have in determining how they wanted to approach this issue?
Well, the legislation that was passed at the end of last session and the beginning of this session gave towns a couple of options. The select board could decide to move completely to Australian ballot. They could move the date of town meeting to some time later in the spring or summer. Actually, there's no end date on that option. And if a town is going to hold an in-person meeting from the floor, they have to follow all the guidance from the Agency of Commerce and Community Development regarding that, which means masking and social distancing and having a room large enough to accommodate the group you think is going to come, those sorts of things. And there are, incidentally, by our count, 10 towns that will have some combination of floor voting on March 2nd. Could I also just take a second, Bob, to say what the Australian ballot is?
Sure, please do.
It essentially is the pre-printed ballot that you get in order to vote the items that are going to be considered at town meeting. So it will include in the towns that are going completely to Australian ballot, it will include the elections of officers and the budgets and any other contributions that the town tends to make to nonprofit organizations. There's usually a long list of those requests. And then any other ballot items that the select board or city council has put on that pre-printed ballot.
Karen, I have to believe there's some history to this. Why is it called the Australian ballot?
I don't actually recall. There may be another one of your guests who can tell me that.
So you mentioned that there are a bunch of towns that usually have a town meeting, but this year they're going to decide their ballot issues by Australian ballot so people can come into the place of voting through a certain time period. They don't have to all be there at the same time for a town meeting. Now, this is a big change for some communities, doesn't it? Because at a regular town meeting, you have the opportunity to amend budget issues, raise issues from the floor, and none of that is really possible with the Australian ballot, is it?
Right. Those options are not available if you're voting by Australian ballot. Your choice is yes or no on the question as it's printed on the ballot. So it is a big change for a lot of towns. There's been, as you mentioned, a great deal of concern around what will this mean for the for the discussion and conversation that usually happens on, at the floor meeting in those towns. I will say that a lot of towns are doing their informational meetings via Zoom this year. Actually, most towns, I believe, are doing that. And that is an opportunity to ask those questions that you might ordinarily ask at the floor meeting. But having gotten whatever information you get at the at that meeting, you're still going to only have the option of voting yes or no on a question on the ballot.
And Karen, in seeing voter turnout in different communities that have town meetings and also sort of a hybrid system, they decide some things at the town meeting, they decide some things by Australian ballot. It's very clear that participation goes up considerably when there is an Australian ballot. The downside is at the town meeting, you don't have an opportunity to adjust these budgets. How much concern is there out there that even though these changes have only been put into place for a one-year period, we might be seeing the beginning of the demise of town meeting because there are going to be voters who want the opportunity to have greater participation?
Well, I'm going to channel Professor Frank Bryan from UVM for a moment. And what he and his students found over the years is that in smaller communities, a floor meeting really brings out a large segment of the registered voters of the town, and they have those conversations. As the size of the communities grow over about 1,500 population and up, the floor meeting attendance seems to drop off somewhat. And then an Australian ballot seems to be the way that you get more participation. The other thing I will say, which he found year in and year out, is that if you've got a controversial question on the ballot or on the floor, you're going to get more participation. And then the last thing I would say, of course, is that this year, where people are all at home, we may see a whole lot more participation on via the Australian ballot, or we may not. You know, it's really not predictable this year.
And the other sort of component here, Karen, is that this year a lot of communities are doing one of two things when they switch to the Australian ballot. They're either sending out postcards to all registered voters to say, this is what we're doing this year. Here's when our informational meeting is going to take place. And we encourage you to request a ballot from your town clerk so you can vote early or vote by mail. Some communities are actually sending ballots out to all registered voters. And you would think that in those cases, participation would go up, wouldn't you?
You would think so. And our experience with the primary and general election last year certainly demonstrated that. So we are hopeful that that there'll be more participation. And I would say that from my sort of perusal of town reports, that rather more towns are sending the postcards or asking their constituents to request a ballot. And if you have your ballot, you can vote now. Like I dropped my ballot in the ballot box on the front porch of the town office last week. You can vote right up until town meeting day. And then the one other interesting thing is that the Secretary of State has up to $1 million that the legislature appropriated him in order to help pay if towns are mailing ballots to all their registered voters. So there is some assistance there. And then a number of towns actually have these drive-by voting setups that they've put together where you can vote, drop your ballot in the box without ever getting out of your car.
Right now, we're going to turn to the town of Marshfield and talk with the town clerk out there, Bobby Brimblecom. Hi, Bobby. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Now, Marshfield usually has a town meeting on the first Tuesday in March. How did local officials decide to handle this situation this year? What was the thought process?
Well, we started talking about it back in November, and the first thing that we did is talk to the school superintendent and confirmed that we would not be able to hold an open meeting at the school. It just, they didn't have a way to make that safe, and we didn't know what the guidelines would be by the time we get to town meeting day. So we've been talking with the school board, the select board, and the select board of Plainfield for, we talked for a couple of months off and on to try to figure out the best process. We have a unified union school district, so we wanted to do all of our planning together because Marshfield and Plainfield have to treat our school election the same way. So started talking about the best way to keep everybody safe and to handle the school election first because we knew that would determine how we did the town election.
And so the idea is that you're going to have an election on April 6th?
Yes. Postponed for 1 month.
And you'll use the Australian ballot?
Yes. We've traditionally done everything in the town of Marshfield for our town vote. We've done everything at an open meeting, with the exception of zoning regulations, but everything else is open. And for the school district, they've done an open meeting and Australian ballot. They've done the budget by Australian ballot, but they also usually hold an open meeting for their officers and other questions. But the town has traditionally done officers, budget, all of those questions at an open meeting. So this is all new for us.
Yeah, and Marshfield is one of those communities that's encouraging people to vote early by sending out a postcard?
Yes. We developed the postcard with Plainfield, so it has the town information and the school information, and mailed it to all of the registered voters with a tear-off postcard that they could send back to get an absentee ballot.
Now, Bobby, I know in talking to you, you have some concerns about the future of town meeting, and if folks like using the Australian ballot this year? What is it going to mean for next year? What are your concerns? Do you think that we're sort of at a tipping point for town meeting in some communities?
I think we are. I think it will be sad to see it go, but there are issues with people not being able to take the day off from work or get away. People don't have childcare for whatever reason. Not everybody can come to an open meeting. But I think it'll be sad if we do end up going to all Australian ballot because I don't think you can get as good of an understanding of the issues if you don't have the debate. And that's what I always love about town meetings, hearing my neighbor's perspective on issues before I vote. And we will have the informational hearing, but I don't expect it'll be as well attended as the open town meeting.
Bobby Brimblecom is the town clerk in Marshfield. Bobby, many thanks for being on the program today and sharing your information.
Thank you.
Karen, you mentioned that I think maybe as many as 10 towns are going ahead with their town meeting next Tuesday. They have to have social distancing. They have to wear masks. Are you at all surprised that they decided to go ahead with this?
Well, we're not entirely surprised. They are smaller towns. In a couple of instances, what's going to happen is they're going to open the meeting in person and elect the moderator and then adjourn to a later date in the spring or recess to a later date in the spring. The town of Kirby is doing that. But for the most part, they're very small towns that have decided that they are going to be able to meet all the requirements for an in-person meeting. We also have 20 towns who have moved the date of their town meeting to sometime in the spring.
And some of those dates are April, May, maybe even June?
Yeah, there's at least one June in there that I saw, yeah.
Well, joining us right now to discuss what's happening in Montpelier this year is City Clerk John Odom. John, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure. Now, Montpelier doesn't hold a town meeting. It's a little too large, so key local decisions are made by Australian ballot. Now, this year, to encourage people to vote early or by mail, Montpelier has sent out ballots to every registered voter. This is something you did with the November election. How did this process work in November? Were there any complications? And what was the thinking about using it for town meeting vote?
Yeah, we went for the whole shebang here. In November, I mean, the big difference is, of course, the Secretary of State mailed out all the early ballots to every voter. And then we processed them as they came in. This time around, it's soup to nuts out of the clerk's office here. So we are, you know, we saw to, you know, getting the ballot, getting it sent out. Thankfully, the process of, you know, both the November election when everything went out from Secretary of State and August when they sent out all those postcards from the Secretary of State's office encouraging people to contact us for early voting, our lists are in better condition than they've ever been. So it was a good time for us to do it. But, our city council decided pretty early on. I was having conversations with the mayor back in November, and in December, the city council made it clear and even allotted some money from a COVID-starved budget, in case it didn't come from the state, to make sure we took advantage of that authority if we could and do a full mail-in election. And that is going to be the goal from here on out.
From here on out, do you think this is now the process that Montpelier will use going forward after this year?
Well, this is the process Montpelier wants to do going forward. You know, it always comes down to budget and budget priorities. But this city council seems to have made it a priority. I mean, obviously, in terms of budgetary impact, it's a very small thing in the grand scheme of things. But you know how budgets have been. Every penny counts. But it does seem to be a priority, and the community sure has seemed to be behind it. So, you know, I'd go out there and pretty comfortably say that it's really a community priority, too. So, yeah, I think this is the way we're going to do it.
John, I remember talking to you a couple of weeks before the November election, and there was a huge response to people sending their early ballots in. I forget the exact numbers, but it was really substantial. Are we seeing that this year for the town meeting?
No, which really shocks me. You know, I've done a little research on this in the past, and the main effective turnout that you get historically in those states that have been doing the mail-in elections are, you know, somewhat or negligible. That is, it increased the amount of voter participation in the big turnout ones in the general election. But what it really does is these lower turnout elections in between, like the municipal elections, it usually bumps them up to that level. So, you know, I scheduled volunteers. I prepared everybody here for that kind of effect. And really, you know, we've had obviously higher turnout for in early ballots than we've had in the past. But if the rate and the ratios play out the way they did in November, this is going to be in the range of an average turnout for a town meeting day, which is a big surprise to me.
John Odom is the city clerk in Montpelier. John, many thanks for being on the program today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Let's go to our callers and talk to Ann, who's calling from Franconia, New Hampshire. Hi, Ann. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Oh, so shall I just begin saying something?
Oh, sure. What's on your mind?
Yes. I wondered, as a Massachusetts person whose town has a town meeting, and we had it in the open air, instead of indoors because of the virus last autumn. And I also wondered, this was a zoning question we were having a special town meeting about, and I wondered why, in the case of the town mentioned earlier on your program, why the zoning was not an open meeting but in a closed one. Ours was a zoning question about a possible cell tower to be proposed, and the planning board being asked to give special variances about it. The town has a three-page, which is rather brief for the subject, of telecommunications facilities. And the town fathers, the ones on the planning board at any rate, seem to be terribly willing to give variances to anybody who wants to do something, which might bring in some money to the town. They've just built an extremely large police and fire station, and they need to pay for it. And asked at this meeting how many people thought that their taxes were too high. Of course, there was quite a bevy of hands going up, including our own. Everybody thinks that. And then they said, we need more businesses so that they can pay more taxes. The town has already two cell towers, one of which is owned by the same person who is expected to perhaps propose this third one. And so,
well, Anne, now this sounds like an interesting zoning question in New Hampshire. Karen Horn, any thoughts of local boards, be they zoning boards, development boards, as they're meeting during the pandemic? Do you know if these local boards are still meeting with social distancing, or, as Anne mentioned, maybe even meeting outside? What's happening?
For the most part, local zoning boards and planning commissions are meeting remotely the way the rest of the town is, via Zoom or with a mechanism for folks who don't have access to broadband to call in. That's all in legislation that was passed last year to allow for that during the pandemic. The other thing I would just say, because you can go down a zoning rabbit hole for the next 6 weeks, but the law regarding ability to grant variances is quite specific in Vermont. I don't know what it is in New Hampshire, but here it's quite specific.
Well, right now we're going to travel down to Stratton and talk with Town Clerk Kent Young. Kent, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for inviting me.
Sure. Now, Stratton is a community that usually holds a town meeting. This year, you considered going ahead with a meeting by opening the windows at the town hall or even meeting outside, but that ultimately was not the decision. What did you decide to do?
Well, initially, we did warn our meeting for March 2nd. And we had we do have a COVID policy that we had followed in October for a special school district meeting that we thought perhaps would work. We've got about 215 or so voters, usually about 50 to 70 show up for our meetings. So we just wanted to make sure that if it was possible to have it on May 2nd, we would do that. But on Monday, the BCA had a meeting, and we discussed the different situations and thought that perhaps since the emergency was still in effect through, I guess, March 15th, the fact that you're not sure what the weather is going to do and, you don't want to freeze everybody out by having the windows open if it's too, too cold, and just the fact that with multiple voters being able to have a vaccine later on in the spring, we agreed that we would transfer it to May 4th by adjourning to a date and time and place certain. So that's our plans for Tuesday, is to have the moderator arrive and a few of us to open that meeting and do that adjournment. We sent out on Tuesday, I went ahead and sent out letters to all the voters and all the voters' households to let them know that that was the intention for this meeting. So that's how we plan on doing it. We're going to meet on May 4th, our town meeting at 10, our school district meeting to 10:30. We wanted to try to group them as close as possible, just in case we had some extra time, because we did kind of minimize our agenda, our articles, so that there's nothing real controversial. And it should go fairly. Our meetings usually go fairly quickly. We certainly wanted to do a floor vote, and one of our main reasons for that is that you have the flexibility to make amendments to articles without having to re-vote later down the line. So we have, say, an article on our appropriations that often gets modified, and certain other appropriations and budgets that get modified to adjust the main budget. So we can do that with a floor meeting, and that's really the beauty of a floor meeting.
Kent, was there much consideration of moving away from the floor meeting and the benefits that you just spoke about and shifting to an Australian ballot this year?
No, we thought we would go ahead and try to do it the way I just said, mainly because we had done a special meeting in October, and it seemed to work fairly well. We were going to Zoom it for, you know, informational purposes, but hold it within the town hall, and if we were to have a vote, we had thought to carry the ballot box around to the voters where they are. And also, if anyone was out in the parking lot in their cars, we would take a checklist in the ballot box out there to get their votes as well. Those would be the expanded area for that to happen. And it worked pretty well in October. We did have a paper ballot to deal with. I don't necessarily expect that we would have any. We seldom have paper ballots anymore. We usually have just enough people to fill the vacancies that we have in place. So we didn't decide to go with the ballots.
Kent, I do need to ask you about the cover on the Stratton Town Report this year. It's generated a lot of controversy. I know you've apologized for it. Yeah. For our listeners who may not be aware of it, it said in part, you came here from there because you didn't like there, and now you want to change here to be like there. If you want here to be like there, you should have not left there to come here. And you're invited to leave here to go back there at your earliest convenience. How did that end up on the cover of the town report?
Well, as I've had to say here, I had decided to pick a cover. I usually pick a photograph or something, and I did not have a photograph at the time. And I thought, well, that's kind of a clever little statement. I perhaps didn't think that through enough, but I thought with that and an explanation on the at least what it meant to me as far as, you know, preservation of a rural Vermont lifestyle and the little villages and things that need to be preserved, and the town meeting system that needs to be preserved. I just thought, well, I can explain that and make it a little humorous, although it is a bit harsh when you first read it. Possibly I had read that several times before, and I'm sure I was a little calloused to how that might come across to someone that was just getting it for the first time.
Do you understand why some people were upset with that language?
Oh, certainly I was. I was, and or I am, and so I did. I did apologize for it, and I've put a apology on our website to kind of explain it a little bit better. Part of the problem was that that had wound up getting circulated without the explanation from the caption, which did ease the tension a little bit when that was said and done. And then, of course, my apology, I think, has eased it more, too. So, like I said, I do sincerely apologize to anyone that might have offended. It was only meant because it is a kind of a, although harsh, a clever little write-up the way it was written, and it was only meant to say, you know, we really would like to preserve Vermont for what we know Vermont to be, you know, in the little mm-hmm. you know, you understand, I guess, hopefully. Anyway.
All right. Kent Young is the town clerk in Stratton. Kent, many thanks for being on the program today and addressing all of these issues. We really appreciate it.
Oh, and again, thank you for inviting me.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Andy in Dover. Hey, Andy, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great.
Interesting program. I'm very grateful that you're discussing this today. My name's Andy McLean. I'm the town clerk in Dover. And I just wanted to number one, mention a book. I believe Karen mentioned Frank Bryan and his work. He wrote a book with Susan Clark called All Those in Favor, which discusses a lot of these issues in depth. And if there's any folks or towns that want to consider this and discuss it, that book is a good place to start. In Dover, we postponed our town meeting to May 18th in hopes that we'll be able to hold it in person, outdoors, under a tent perhaps, and maintain our floor vote. We feel strongly about this. For a lot of reasons, the Australian ballot cuts out so much of our direct democracy process at town meeting. It isolates the very last little bit of that process, the actual vote, and takes it away from all of the discussion, the ability to make amendments. And you've spent a bunch of time talking about participation, but participation isn't everything. If you eliminate all of those discussions and opportunities to amend, but you get a big participation, you're in danger of making bad decisions.
Andy, let me just sort of be the devil's advocate on that. I mean, what do you say to folks who say, you know, town meeting is not a state holiday? Lots of folks have to work on town meeting day. They don't have the opportunity to go and be part of this decision making process. And at least the Australian ballot, and now by voting early or voting by mail, gives these folks an opportunity to be represented in their town decision making. Is there not an argument there for greater participation being a good thing?
Yes, absolutely. There's a great argument for it. I just don't happen to agree with that argument. And there's other things you can do to include people in the whole process, not simply that last little bit of it that encourages poor decisions, uninformed decisions. You can provide childcare at town meeting. Bobby Brimblecombe had mentioned folks being unable to find childcare. What's wrong with providing it at town meeting if town meeting is important to you? It should be a state holiday. The legislature could do that. There are lots of suggestions in the book I mentioned about how mm-hmm. to include people and increase participation in the whole process. But I understand, you know, I understand the arguments. Hey, we had a great turnout in November. The thing to remember about November is it was an election of officers, which is a completely different form of voting and election. And I'm for mailing ballots to everybody, for all state, federal, even local elections of officers. But the questions from the floor are a different matter. That's where town meeting shines. And I think most of us have not exhausted the possibilities and the opportunities to increase participation there for everybody. Nobody's voice is heard as well as when you get them in that room at town meeting. Just putting your vote on a piece of paper and putting it in the ballot box is nothing compared to being able to stand up like that guy in the Norman Rockwell picture and be heard as a human being by your neighbors and fellow voters.
Andy is the town clerk in Dover. Andy, we appreciate you calling in today and letting us know the kinds of decisions that are being made in Dover and your support for the town meeting process. Right now, we're going to go to the town of Middlesex, where Sarah Merriman is the town clerk. Sarah, thanks for being on the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Bob.
Now,
there's so much passion behind this issue, which I think is just fantastic. And also, picking up on what Andy said, I'd just like to mention that Susan Clark is our moderator, and she was very, very involved in the decision Middlesex made.
And tell us about that decision. What has Middlesex decided to do?
Well, after two kind of really interesting and in-depth select board meetings, at first the select board decided in December to not have a public meeting maybe in May. We have 1,400 voters on the checklist. We normally get about 150 voters at town meeting, and they meet at Romney School, so that wasn't going to happen. And the board just didn't know where the vaccine and virus would be in April, May. So they made the really tough decision to go with an Australian ballot for all issues. We normally vote for town officers on Australian ballot, but now we're voting for everything for the first time by Australian ballot.
And Middlesex also decided to send ballots out to all registered voters.
That was part two. On the day that House Bill 48 was signed, the select board met and decided to send everybody a ballot, and that was after we'd already sent postcards to every voter saying the vote would be by Australian ballot, not at town meeting. And these were the two informational meetings we were going to hold, one on February 16th and the other one on February 23rd. And we did that by Zoom.
And if I understand it, Sarah, one of the questions on the Australian ballot this year for voters in Middlesex is going to involve, should the Australian ballot be used in the future for budgetary issues? Do I have that right?
Not exactly. I mean, the question, it's Article 16, and it picks up what everybody's been talking about this afternoon, which is, should all moneyed articles funded by taxpayers, except for the town budget, be voted on by Australian ballot starting with the March 2022 town meeting? And this has been an issue that's been percolating in Middlesex for as long as I've been here, which is about 25 years, namely, the old people who cannot attend town meeting are not being represented when it comes to these monetary articles. And it's more than just child care. Our town has offered child care at Rummy School for quite some time. There are people who simply either have to work, there are people who maybe feel intimidated about coming to town meeting. That is a whole thing. There are people who don't want to raise their hands and say they want to vote against an organization, which is a good organization. We have about, I can't imagine, we have, you know, 15 or so organizations all told asking for money of various degrees for a total of about $66,000, all of which is part of the town budget, which means that it's not subject to income sensitivity. So you have people in town who are not coming to town meeting, who are not being represented. And they resent the current process. Now, for the first time, this question is going to be asked to everyone in town. And it's I view it as a kind of a relief that finally we're putting this question to every single voter in town. After this, nobody can complain, at least for a voting generation, because we've put this question out here. Now they get to vote on it, and we'll see what happens. It should be pretty interesting.
Do you have any sense of how this is going to go?
Well, we have a kind of neighborhood journal called Front Porch Forum, which is very popular. And the consensus on Front Porch Forum seems to be, you know, please let's stick with town meeting for all the good and valid reasons discussed so far this afternoon. You can amend the articles. You can have a discussion. As Susan Clark often says, it's a time to connect with your neighbors. It's very, very difficult to hate your neighbor when they're standing right next to you and you know their kids and you've had other experiences with them, even though you might be on opposite sides of an issue. So that's Susan's campaign, and she's, you know, God bless her. So those people who are on Front Porch Forum, those are the people who attend town meeting and raise their hands and are free to talk and are very confident in their opinions and stating their opinions. The people who tend to not be on Front Porch Forum are the people who aren't coming to town meeting. So once again, we're dealing with this bifurcation in town. And we hope that by everybody getting a ballot, and I just want to stress that this was done by petition. This was not done by the select board. This was done by a group of people. This article appeared on the warning because of a group of people who circulated petitions and got signatures. So the select board was not behind this. But so when I say we, I'm just talking as a community.
Mm-hmm. It'd be fascinating to see how this vote turns out. Sarah Merriman is the town clerk in Middlesex. Sarah, many thanks for being on the program today.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
And let's turn right now to the town of Plainfield, where Sasha Thayer is the chair of the select board in Plainfield. Sasha, welcome to the program.
Well, hi to both you and Karen.
And Sasha, tell us about the decisions that have been made in Plainfield in terms of town meeting this year.
Well, we shut down all of our town buildings effective March 17th. To everyone who doesn't work there. So that meant our town hall opera house where we hold town meeting and hold general elections. And when we learned that there was the possibility of making decisions all by Australian ballot, I think it was in December, maybe November, we thought, well, that was probably the best thing, the best way to go, because we really didn't think we would be able to hold town meeting in the town hall opera house. I, as emergency management director, had researched for opening it up for artistic purposes and found that we could only allow something on the order of 15 people because of the square footage of the building. So then the issue came up of what about postponing town meeting? And I should say we have not received any objection from anybody in town about holding it by Australian ballot. I think everybody understands these are really difficult times. So the town of Marshall reached out to us to talk about meeting together because we also have a school board in between us. And so we've done that through a variety of meetings and ended up coming to a consensus of postponing the town meeting to April 6th. It will still all be by Australian ballot. We are not actually mailing out ballots to everyone, but we did send out a postcard with a way to and postage paid way to request an absentee ballot for Plainfield.
Now, Sasha, we're unfortunately running out of time, but I want to get your thoughts on this issue that we've really been hearing all throughout the program, and that is, should these kinds of budgetary issues be decided at a town meeting in smaller communities where folks have the opportunity to amend a budget or to raise certain issues? Or does that approach not encourage the most participation, and that using an Australian ballot is a better way to approach these issues? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, we had someone in town raise the issue and ask to have put on the ballot the question of all questions. Our elections are already by Australian ballot, but all public questions and all budgetary questions also are financial questions being put on Australian ballot. And this is somebody from, you know, a native Vermonter, longtime person in town, and I've talked to some other people since then. And I think that the sense is that there is greater possibility for participation. We have somewhere a little bit over 100 people turn up for actual town meeting where we're voting a big budget. And we have almost 1,000 people on our checklist. So I've had my eyes open to thinking about this. I came from down country, and I have loved town meeting. And at some point, you start thinking, am I loving something that doesn't allow people to really weigh in on things that are important to them? And obviously, finances are always important to people.
Sasha Thayer is the chair of the Plainfield Select Board. Sasha, many thanks for being on the program today.
Well, thank you again for doing the program. It's been very interesting listening to other people, and I don't tend to agree with the town clerk from Dover, because what I'm hearing is that people are disenfranchised when there's only 100 people or so out of 1,000 that get to vote on big item issues like the budget. So, but difficult question, though.
It's a very difficult question. Thanks for being on the program. Karen Horn, we're almost out of time, but we're going to learn some interesting things from the town meeting votes this year, aren't we?
We definitely are. And if I may, as you've heard, the passion runs high around the question about Australian ballot or town meeting. I do think that in the future, it's not going to have to be an either-or question. We're going to eventually have the capacity to let people participate remotely in something like a floor town meeting. And, you know, when we have broadband availability to everybody and the mechanisms to record votes both remotely and physically, we'll be able to expand access to a floor town meeting quite considerably. And I'm looking forward to that day.
That's our program for today. Many thanks to all of our guests and also Karen Horn from the Vermont League of Cities and Towns. Karen, thanks very much for being part of our program today.
Thank you.